certainly appreciate the song service tonight and each one that has come out to hear the word of the Lord. I'd like to read in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 10. Now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire is powerful. Fire will consume a great matter, according to James. Just a small fire will create a lot of damage, won't it? Start it with a small fire and large city in, called Chicago in the United States burned many years ago. Jesus said that we could be baptized with fire. Something very powerful, something that is consuming. I'd like to read in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They had power in their tongues. It was power represented, you might say, by fire, a consuming fire. And perhaps it represented the many different languages that they would go and preach the gospel in, and the power and the authority that would be behind that preaching. The Holy Ghost comes with power and with authority, just like fire is so powerful and will consume, so will the Holy Ghost. Let us read in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter was very bold in proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. People saw that boldness and they were amazed. It was like fire. This is the same Peter that before he was filled with the Holy Ghost was fearful and took a sword and cut a man's ear. This is the same Peter that was afraid and denied his Lord repeatedly and cursed and claimed he never knew him. And something changed Peter. After he repented, after he was saved, it said that Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. He began to preach. He was bold. He was full of fire. And he was no longer afraid of those that may kill him. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, verse 28, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews 12 and 29, for our God is a consuming fire. I want you to picture a grain of wheat. The wheat like it grows in the field. The covering over that wheat is called chaff. It is something that is separated from the wheat so that we can have the food. But the part that they take away from outside the wheat is worthless. It is to be destroyed or cast away. And there is nothing wrong with the wheat, chaff, as far as disease goes. It is not corrupt. It is simply worthless. And the Holy Spirit will burn chaff out of our lives. I'm not speaking of sin. I'm not speaking of us being corrupt, but there are things that are unnecessary. There are faults that we have. There are ways in which we need to improve. And the Holy Spirit will burn those areas in our lives, this consuming fire. Did you know that Christians can be carnal? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. Brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Paul was speaking to the brethren, to people who were saved and forgiven from their sins. And he called them carnal. Verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Sometimes Christians need some things removed from their lives. And I'm not talking about sin. Christians do not sin. If a person sins, that person is a sinner. They're not a Christian. They're not a saint. But even a saint can need some improvement. There may be areas that the Lord is trying to work on, and He wants that burning fire to go in our lives and to consume the things that are unnecessary, the things that are troubling us, that may create division between us and our brother. Paul went on to say, one says, I'm of Paul. Another says, I'm of Apollos. And Paul made it very clear that none of us are really anything important. It is Jesus Christ that gives the increase. We need that fire burning in our lives. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Let us be careful how we're building our Christian lives. What kinds of materials that we're putting into our lives. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if a man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The fire of the Holy Ghost can burn inferior building materials out of our life. Again, I'm not talking about Christians sinning, but I'm talking about Christians making mistakes or having faults, areas that need improvement. The Holy Ghost can burn and consume and purge away those things that need to be pruned out of our lives so that we can bring forth more fruit. The Holy Ghost inspires. Let us turn to Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. We need to be baptized with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The Holy Ghost will inspire us to be bold. The Holy Ghost will give us words to say. The Scripture says the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. When we have the Holy Spirit to inspire our words, whether it is a prayer, whether it is a testimony, whether it is preaching, whether it is witnessing for the Lord, when the Holy Ghost is the one that is inspiring our words, there will be some life in it. There will be something that will resonate in the heart of the hearer. The Holy Ghost will inspire us. Do you remember the disciples that were on the road to Emmaus? And they heard Jesus begin to explain the prophecies of Jesus, beginning at the prophets. And later, when they recognized that was the Lord that was walking with us, they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" There is something about the Spirit of God that will inspire and burn and cause the words that we say to bring life. In Acts chapter 21, the Holy Ghost will inspire us. Acts 21 and verse 10. As we tarried there many days, there came from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, this prophet was able to predict the future correctly. The Holy Spirit will inspire us, our words, and give us understanding. Did you know that the devil does not want you to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? The devil realizes the Holy Spirit will consume things out of your life that will be a hindrance to you in your Christian experience. The devil realizes if you are full of the Holy Ghost, that you will have power over demons, that you will have great victory in your life, and he doesn't want you to be baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost. So Satan has created a lie to cheat people out of receiving the Holy Ghost. And that is, he tells people that when you get saved, you have received everything. You have received already the Holy Spirit. Well, let's see what Jesus had to say in John chapter 14. Do we receive the Holy Spirit at the time that we are saved, or does it come later? Let's read in John 14 and verse 15. "If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, And he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You notice the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit? An unsaved person cannot receive or be baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. See, these were the disciples. These were people that were saved. And Jesus said, Jesus said, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Right now he is with you, but it sounds like there's a change coming. In the future, he will be in you. In other words, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. It sounds like a change to me. In Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 and verse 49. Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Again, Jesus was speaking to his followers, to saved people. And he told them, you go wait at Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. And that was the promise of the Holy Ghost. Jesus spoke of his disciples in John 17. And he said, I have kept them in my name. In other words, they were saved. And Jesus described his disciples saying they were not of this world. These are the same disciples that Jesus promised, later, after you wait at Jerusalem, you will receive the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Ghost. So they did not receive it at the time Jesus was ministering with them, but they received the Holy Ghost later at the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. It came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, Paul came and he found disciples of Jesus Christ. He found Christians. And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Verse 6, and when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake in tongues and prophesied. To be sanctified is to be set apart, to be consecrated for a purpose. In Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 10. Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 10. Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar seven times, anointing the altar and all his vessels, both the laver and his foot, to sanctify them. The vessels of the tabernacle were not to be borrowed and used for other purposes. If there was a wedding feast, you could not go down to the temple and ask the priest, please send the vessels over to the feast. We need something to serve the wine in. No, those vessels were sanctified. They were set aside for one purpose, and that was the service of the Lord only. So it is to be with us. We are to be set aside for one purpose in life, and that is to serve the Lord. There are many people that are trying to serve two masters. They're claiming they love Jesus Christ. They are claiming that they are Christians, but they have not been sanctified. They have not been set apart exclusively for service to God. They're still serving the flesh. They're still serving sin and claiming that they are the children of God. The temple had to be clean. Let's read in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And verse 5. And said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord your God, of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. So, what they did is they purified the house of God. They cleaned it of its filthiness. The same must happen in our hearts. We must be cleaned of our sins first. We are the vessels of the Lord. Let us turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Those of us that are saved are vessels of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. To be sanctified is to be set apart from this world. The Scripture tells us, be separate and don't partake of the unclean thing. We are to be sanctified for God's use. We are not to fellowship the works of darkness. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We must not partake of the works of darkness, but it is greater than that. We must not even fellowship or show approval to put our blessing on the works of darkness, to be in agreement with the works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We are not to take pleasure in the sins of others. Let us read in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, they that commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. It is not enough to refrain from cursing, from fornication, from adultery, from stealing, from hatred. It is not enough for us to keep ourselves separate from that. We must not take pleasure in that evil, according to Romans 1 and 32. Those that take pleasure in those things that are evil are worthy of death. Our bodies are the temple of God. Let us read about Solomon consecrating the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. So the temple of God must be clean. The temple of God must be set aside for His use only, including the things that are inside the temple, the vessels, everything that is sacred in the worship of God must be set aside for His purpose. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, we read that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Just as they had to purify the temple in the Old Testament, we must be pure in order to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We must consecrate our bodies, give our bodies over to the Holy Spirit. We must give our time, our ambitions, our will. We must bring these things as a sacrifice to God. And when our temple is pure, when we have made the sacrifice of our will and our future, our hopes, our dreams, everything in life, when we bring this as a sacrifice to God, He will accept the sacrifice. And He will send down the fire, and His glory will fill the temple of our body. The Holy Ghost is a wonderful companion to have in life. He is our comforter. Let us read in John chapter 16 and verse 7. John 16 and 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Do you ever need comfort in life? Are there times that you are very sad? That you are lonely? I want to encourage you, be baptized with the Holy Ghost, so that you can have the Comforter in you every day of your life. The Holy Ghost is our teacher. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. Bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Is there ever a time that you need wisdom? That life's problems are just too big for you to solve? I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn. I'm facing troubles. I just wish someone would tell me what the right thing to do is. I want to encourage you, be baptized with the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will be that teacher for you. The Holy Ghost will give you words to speak in Mark chapter 13 and verse 11. Mark chapter 13 and verse 11. When they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought therefore what ye shall speak. Neither do ye premeditate, But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, it is the Holy Ghost. Jesus said it was good for you that I leave, because I'm going to send the Comforter. The Comforter is a wonderful companion to have for life. The Holy Ghost will give us great power over sin. Are you struggling in your Christian experience? Do you find yourself so close to falling, so tempted by the world? I want to encourage you, be baptized with fire and with Holy Ghost. What a difference it made in Peter's life. From one that failed the Lord, from one that was afraid and weak, to one that was bold and proclaimed God's word so boldly that people were just amazed. It wasn't Peter's education. It wasn't Peter's ability to speak languages. It was not his ability to say big words or beautiful words. It was the fire of the Holy Ghost. Have you been baptized with fire? I want to encourage you, if you're saved tonight, to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be your temple. I want the Holy Spirit living in my heart, keeping me from all those unclean spirits out there. I want that great power. I want the boldness of Peter. I want to be a mighty man or woman of God. Holy Spirit, come and live in me. Lord Jesus, I pray for mercy on this congregation. Lord, I pray for every saved one here, that you will keep them from the evil of this world, from the unclean spirits that are out there defiling. I pray that you will keep them, Lord Jesus. I pray that they will be baptized with the fire of the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost will be the one to strengthen them and comfort them and teach them and be their guide through life, that will bring back to their minds remembrance of the Word of God in the hour of need, that will fill them with such fire and power that it will purge those things out of their lives that will be a hindrance to them. Bless the saints here, Lord. Encourage them, strengthen them, and send revival here on the island and to all those that have come. Bless us here tonight. Send your Holy Spirit to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.